Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ADT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew Twidwell, owner of ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air. Once again with the show You Got This. It's a show of DIY do's and don't. We're here to talk about DIY stuff. And I've got Rosalie Brown on the Zoom. We're Zooming today again. When have we not Zoomed?
I was going to say,
My life is Zoom.
I think there was about 6 weeks where we were in person.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, you know, and now that we've got the Delta variant raging, I'm doing more Zoom calls again. So yeah, it's been, I don't think this virtual thing is going away anytime soon.
No, so, that's all right.
But I kind of like it because it's allowed me to be in different places. Like right now I'm actually in St. Paul and you're in LA and we're recording a show for Grass Valley. So, it's kind of nice to be able to have this ability to be, have meetings. And I just had my meeting with my staff this morning, all the managers, and I can do that from anywhere in the world now. It's fantastic. And we're all kind of used to it because of COVID now. So it's not too weird.
If I can work my life out, I plan on never being in the same room as another human being again. That's my plan when it comes to work. Like I'll just stay in my expansive office. You stay wherever the heck you are. But I mean, I've been doing this since 2007. I've been working remotely, you know, so to me, it's not really that big a deal. I do appreciate the fact that, you know, it saves time in the car travel, you know, because even when I was in,
oh my goodness. Yeah.
Even when I was in Nevada County, you know, because it's more rural, a lot of the time would be spent stopping by that gas station, getting in the car, driving to get to a meeting. I don't mind the digital meeting at all. I prefer not to have video meetings just in general, because I don't particularly like to see people. But overall, I think it's so much more convenient. It really is. It's time saver.
Yeah. And you can, I mean, you can do it in your pajamas, right? So it makes
you don't
so
even know
easier.
If I'm not. You have no idea. Just assume.
It's on right now. So,
Just assume I'm in house clothes. That's all. Yeah. House clothes.
Yeah. So it's good. So yeah, we're Zooming and I'm in St. Paul and we're setting up this apartment to, potentially rent out, and it's been fun. I upcycled. So we did talk about that last show. So I found this steamer chest on the street, like literally around the corner from our house. And, I'm like, I can do something with that. And I found these cast iron caster wheels with that lock for like $30 online, had them shipped out here and installed them. And it looks really cool. And I shared some pictures on Instagram. I'll probably share them with you so we can throw them up on the site. Just cause you know, it's kind of fun. People might have a steamer chest and they want to think about doing that. And it was something that was really simple. I think it cost me all of $40 with hardware and the wheels. And it looks like something that you would buy at a store for probably, actually, I looked online and at different steamer chests and specifically ones with wheels, and they were $500 to $1,500.
Yeah. So, yeah. I saw the picture of it and I thought, oh, that reminds me of Restoration Hardware.
Totally.
You know,
yeah. And where it would easily be 15 to $2,000 at Restoration Hardware.
Right. And I'm like, the store I can't afford to shop at. It's interesting.
It was $40 and maybe an hour and a half worth of work. And only because I kind of messed up on a couple of things that took me a little longer, and I had one idea that didn't quite work out. So I had to change midstream.
That's always it's good to be able to adapt. But I also think that one thing that people do in the Midwest a lot, I've seen it more. I saw it more there than anywhere else I've been. It's very typical to just like put your stuff out on the street. So you can really, it's not really dumpster diving. You just like walk around your neighborhood if you live in the Midwest. And especially if it's like trash day, you can find stuff that you will blow your mind. I mean, I think one of the things that we found like this painting or this artwork that was I don't know if it was a reproduction, but it's something that people were like, it was highly sought after with this one type of decor. And it was like, oh, that was just on, because someone didn't have any use for it, saw no value in it. And there it was. And it was like this really cool piece. It was like, hey, that's a score. So you see that more, I think, in different areas of the country more than California. But
Actually, I in San Francisco, growing up in San Francisco, we are constantly remodeling our apartments. As an adult finding stuff, we have a steamer's chest in our living room that I literally pulled out of a dumpster. I still have it,
crazy.
30 years later.
Crazy.
And I looked online and that one's expensive because it's got, really ornate metal engravings and things like that. It's pretty cool. But anyway, and chairs, I had a Queen Anne chair that was really, really nice. A rocking chair that we had for a long time that we ended up finding it rehoming.
It's crazy. Cool. It's crazy.
And you can find that in Grass Valley too, because all these stuff on our stoop. I had a refrigerator that had, we scratched the door when we moved it in, and we finally decided after 5 years that maybe we could just buy a new refrigerator. So we bought a new refrigerator, and I tried selling it, and I had one person that was interested, and finally I just gave up and put it on the corner, and within, I don't know, half an hour. Cause it worked. Wow. It was gone.
Wow.
And a barbecue that we replaced that was 20 years old. It still functioned. It was an old Weber, something you can keep fixing those things forever. It's just that we wanted something that looked a little nicer and put that on the corner and boom, gone. Yeah.
Isn't that funny? So, like, your trash is my treasure.
Yeah. You just never know. And I have that conversation all the time with my wife, because she just sees it as garbage and I see it as potential,
I get it. I'm with Betty a lot. I think I kind of see it as like, oh, it's a project. And it's just like, projects always start off sounding fun. And then it comes time to like do it or get the supplies, or there's always some like determinant to doing it. So I probably lean closer to Betty's take on this, but look at you. Well, look at you.
Cause you just did a really nice segue.
I did. That was planned. Do you think that wasn't planned? I was about to talk about your furniture. I'm good.
So good.
I used to work in PR, I used to have real jobs. You know that, right? In fact, let me segue the job I had in PR that is tied to this. That is the weird part. Okay. So one thing that people that know me know that I worked at a zoo for a few years, and I was not a zookeeper, but zoos are a nonprofit. And so if you work at a zoo, if they give you the keys to the building, which, my job, I had the keys to the building. Sometimes you are expected to do crazy stuff. And so one of the things I had to do was, being the PR director, we had someone, I forget the film crew now, it might've actually been, a commercial. UC Berkeley was filming a commercial and they wanted to use our, lion exhibit, and they didn't want the lions, but they wanted the background. So the plan was I had to get to the zoo at like 4 o'clock in the morning, which was super pleasant. And we had to keep the lions in their night house, gives the film crew the access to the exhibit. And so the shoot was taking more time than was planned. And the lions were not happy about this.
They're a little antsy.
Oh my gosh. And so, cause animals, cats, let's just call them cats. Cats have routines and they like to be in control of their routine. So at the time of day, they should have been let out of their night houses and been able to go and forage and do their thing. They weren't allowed to. So there was this one lion, Victor, that was just pacing back and forth, and he's right, just on the other side of this, I don't even know, like fake rock wall. And we had the chute open just a little bit so they could get some fresh air. And I hear discontent and I hear the, snorting and the back and forth. And the next thing I know, my leg is super hot, wet, and there's a smell that cannot be described to you. The smell was the worst smell that's ever hit my nose in my life. And my then husband would attest to that, because I had to go home and shower several times. The lion had decided to mark his territory. He was very frustrated. So he peed all over at the opening, and like a dummy, I was in the stream. So, the smell of pet urine, animal urine, urine in general, one of those really challenging smells to get out. And Since I knew we were going to be talking a little bit about smells, I thought I'd share that little, not many people can top that. I mean, unless you work in the zoo world, most people have not been peed on by a lion.
We work in the sewage world. So
well, that's true.
It's expected.
And
to be honest, I don't think it is as bad as cat urine. So that was just, that's just my perspective. Yeah.
There's something to that ammonia smell that'll just make you lose your mind.
Knock you on the ground. Lose your mind. Yeah.
So, yeah. Especially when you're talking about
gallons as opposed to just, a little sprinkle.
I cannot quite put into words what that whole situation was like. It was the strangest, one of the more strange experiences of my life. Not the strangest, but pretty ranks up there. So with that, talking about, so let's tackle some common things and then we'll get into your furniture.
Yeah. So what we talked about is how do you get smells out of things? So it came up because my wife and I were, Rosalie yesterday texted me like, what are we going to talk about? And then I asked my wife and she's like, well, we're dealing with something right now. So we just bought this really nice dining room table and chairs. Really nice as a stretch. They're old and I think they're cool looking.
Let's call them vintagey.
They're vintage and it's not like a really beautiful ornate type of thing. But in any event, we bought these things on one of the online sites and got it to our house and put it into the area that we're putting in. And within minutes, we're just like, oh, that's not going to work. Oh, man. And we literally had to take them outside and put them outside. The cigarette smoke smell in it was so bad that it was just permeating the entire apartment. Mm. So we had to decide whether we're just going to get rid of these things or whether we're going to salvage them. And like what you were just saying about getting projects done and getting things together. So we started that process of figuring out what will remove the smell of cigarette smokes. And unfortunately, cigarette smoke is really hard to get rid of inside of wood furniture, but it is doable. And one of the ways that we found was to basically encapsulate it. You can't really leach it out of the wood grain, but you encapsulate it. So this really nice table. So if you've got a piece of furniture, wood furniture that you can paint, you can encapsulate all the smell inside of it. So my wife's actually out on the patio right now, right on the deck, rather, painting a primer on all the furniture. And then we're going to put a nice mineral oil paint on top of that just because it's really nice look. And so anyway, that's one way to get rid of that smell is to encapsulate things. And then I started me on this whole other thing of how do you get rid of smells and things? Because that is being a homeowner. That's something that you run across more often than we'd like, right? I mean, I've run across it multiple times. And even in my work life, we run into it all the time because of different things that we may end up doing or we may find when we come into a house. So we thought that'd be a good topic. So the one thing that we're dealing with is cigarette smoky chairs and table and encapsulating and paint.
When you first told me that you had furniture that had cigarette smell in it, I assumed, to be honest with you, that it was fabric, right? Because it makes sense to me that like fabric holds smell, So then when you're talking about, it's in the wood grain, you think to yourself,
it's in the wood and in the paint.
How much smoke had to happen to reach that level? I mean, that's got to be.
This gal must have been hotboxing inside our apartment.
It's crazy.
It's nuts because that was the same thing. It wasn't even something that was on our radar.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought about it.
Right. When I was putting it in the truck.
Right.
Because it's wood. I'm not buying a piece of upholstered couch or something. And to be honest, if it is upholstered, I'm going to smell it.
Right. You know? So I was surprised that it's actually wood that's got that smell in there. But, I see a lot.
And it was bad. I mean, we left it in here and then went off and did some errands and came back. And I don't know. This happened to us once before. We rented a car that somebody had smoked in. And we had to take it back because it was giving us headaches. And I mean, granted, we're ex-smokers. I mean, it's been 30 years since I smoked. So, but it was like that when we walked into the apartment, headachey and just really funky and all because it's in wood, which is bizarre.
Yeah.
Not in a soft fabric thing. So it can happen all sorts of things. So wood can absorb a smell. Paint can absorb a smell. And that kind of led on to some other things about, how do you deal with cigarette smoke? And, one, like we're talking about that as well before the show, because that is something else you may run into when you move into a home that somebody may have smoked. And so you see that little layer at the top third of the house that's just discolored and it's just tar. And we bought a house in Pacifica that has smoker and a dog issues, and we got a really good deal on it. But, and the house is, gosh, how much is it worth now? I think it's over $1 million now. In any event, we don't own it anymore. My sister does. But how do you deal with the cigarette smoke that's permeated inside of the drywall and that smell? And again, it's encapsulation. So you get a really good primer. We got starts with a Z. And if you go to any paint store, they'll know exactly what you're talking about. It's a really strong, great primer that will encapsulate smells. And that's one of the things, will encapsulate liquids and making sure tannins don't come back out. Cause that's the other thing. If you do have cigarette tar and cigarette smells on things, the tar and the tannins will leach through the paint and just come back out. So you really have to seal it up with some kind of encapsulating primer. And that's what we're doing with this piece of furniture. And I've done it in apartments as well, and our houses and apartments as well. You got to seal it and completely make it so it doesn't come through the paint, because the smell will come through the paint and that tar will come through the paint. What was the other thing we were going to talk about?
That's a big one. But okay, so let's say that most people, let's say on the West Coast, that let's say you're not buying a home that has, you know, indoor smokers.
Cigarette.
So the second probably worst smell is pet urine and pet odor, right?
Yeah.
In my experience.
So, this is good. So we can segue into this other thing, because, you know, we kind of talked about this offline. That house that we bought in Pacifica, it was an older woman. She was a widow and she couldn't get up and down the stairs very, very well, but she had a dog. So she let her dog just go downstairs into the basement or into the garage and pee in the garage and never really cleaned it up. And they cleaned it up kind of when they put it on the market, but you'd walk down there and it would just hit you like a ton of bricks. I mean, the smell just would knock you out. So trying to figure out a way, you know, I did a lot of research and tried to figure out a way of getting rid of the smell inside the concrete, because it had permeated through the concrete and concrete's porous. So
we hit it with
muriatic acid, high doses of muriatic acid to kind of burn it off as best we could. Then we hit it with bleach to kind of burn it off a little bit more, but it was still in there. You could still smell it. We knocked it back a lot. And then once again, came in with a really good strong primer and a really good strong floor paint. And we were able to encapsulate that smell inside the concrete, and it literally went away. It took care of it.
Wow. Wow.
So encapsulation, if you can paint it, you can encapsulate it and keep it contained.
Right.
So that is one solution to getting around some really bad smells in paintable surfaces. When you start getting into soft surfaces like carpets or upholsteries, that's a whole other issue, because you can't just encapsulate it. You literally have to remove it. And sometimes you can't. I mean, I've had pieces of furniture that we just could not get the smell out of and just had to throw it away. But you can work. There's a lot of over-the-counter or products that you can find online or at hardware stores that have enzymes in them that will literally eat the pet urine and break it down to its basic components and get rid of a lot of those smells. So those things work pretty good, but they're not going to solve every single problem. Cause I've had pieces where we've tried that stuff and
I've had luck with some and zero luck with others. It just really depends on maybe the chemistry of the situation. I don't know.
The chemistry and the amounts and how long it's been there.
Right.
Really
right.
The amounts. I mean, if your pet's been pissing or if your pet has been using it as a bathroom for a very long time, it's going to be hard to get out.
Absolutely.
If you've caught them soon enough and have managed to get rid of the smell, hopefully they'll stop using that as a place to go to the bathroom. But soft surfaces are brutal. And then when you start getting into other things, like, you know, we've had issues where sewage has broken free of pipes or lift stations and things like that and has gotten into the dirt. And there are ways to get rid of that too. And some of it, you know, one of the ways is you take out as much as you can with buckets, you know. I mean, you got to remove as much as you can. And then, but it's going to percolate into the soil. It's pretty bad. We've got companies that do that now. I have done it myself, but we've got people we farm it out to now. But then you hit it with a high dose of lye, you know, just like the old days when you put the lye into the outhouse to get rid of the smell. Caustic lye.
I thought, you know, when I think of lye, I think of like dissolving bodies because I listen to a lot of true crime. And so whenever I'm like, I know what that's for. Didn't dawn on me. Yeah, sure. For organics. That makes sense. Organics. Break down the organics. Okay. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. So those are hard. So those are smells that are really hard to get rid of. And I've gone into homes where people are like, God, I have this really bad smell. And we'll go down to the basement or we'll open up the crawl space and it'll just be flooded. There'll be a pool of sewage that they just didn't realize was happening and we got to deal with it. So you can get rid of it. You don't have to burn the house down.
Or move.
There are ways to get rid of it. And just like the piece of furniture, we didn't have to throw away the piece of furniture. We just have to work on encapsulating the issue, encapsulating the smell. And just like the issue with the floor, we had to encapsulate the smell. And when you get to furniture, use the enzyme products. There's a lot of products out on the market. Carpets, you can do the same thing, but I've talked to some carpet guys in depth, carpet cleaners, and there's only so much they can do with a carpet before they got to rip it up because it'll get down into the padding and there's not much you can do. So you do the best you can with those enzymes. And hope for the best, and hopefully you can salvage the carpet without having to replace it. But if you've got a carpet that's this full, and I've unfortunately worked in people's homes that have, you know, again, they live in it, and there's just you gotta gut it.
You can really get nose blind too, right? So like I don't really have a bunch of soft surfaces here and the dog is, you know, my biggest stink bomb. And even him just being alive stinks, okay, to a certain degree. And so like I was out for a few hours yesterday and came back and I walked in and I was like, ah, I smell fear, you know? And it's undescribable. it's just a smell. And I'm like, that's right. So, you know, I'm kind of trying to stay on top of that too, but yeah, you just get nose blind to things. And, a little perspective kind of makes me horrified. So of course I have like candles everywhere and I've got like, you know, open windows and whatever I can do to kind of air it out. Cause I'm like, God, he kind of stinks. So,
We're dog owners as well. Same issue. Yeah. We get a lot of scented candles and cleaning products that are on the ready and waiting in case we find a spot and try to get rid of it as soon as you possibly can and deal with it. Although at this point we're staying in a third floor apartment. So it's been a little fun getting the dogs to go downstairs.
Okay. So if we have time, I want to mention a product to you really fast. I've been doing research on this. So as you know, I've got a pretty good setup. I can usually get the dog out pretty easily, but there is a product called Doggy Lawn, and it's actually made for people that are either older and infirmed or have like dogs they have to leave at home during the day and they just not going to be able to make it.
Yeah.
And it's not puppy pads. It's not that. It's actually this lawn that you get a patch of lawn. You tell them if you want small, medium, or large. And I think you can replace it once a week, once a month, depending on the usage, the size of the dog. I mean, there's some features that will determine how often you want to replace it, but they kind of designed it so you can also, like, if you're in a patio situation, right? Like my dog's role, like my dog only likes to go to the bathroom certain places, ways, textures. He's not for just anywhere. So anyway, you can get these strips of lawn that's made for this and put it out on your patio, your balcony, your deck, your whatever. And I do believe it's called Doggy Lawn. So anyway, that's something to check out.
Keep an eye out. I will definitely check it out.
Yeah.
And with that, I hope you guys found this information useful and helpful because stinks are a pain and they're hard to figure out and hard to get rid of, but you can get rid of them. If you have any issues in your home with your plumbing, electrical, or heating, your air system, you can call us at 530-230-9092. That number again, 530-230-9092. You can find us on the web at easyasabt.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Please like our Facebook page. We've got a lot of fun, interesting stuff there. And you can sign up for our newsletter. We got a monthly newsletter once coming out in the next couple of days. So we've already got the e version out and getting the digital version out as we speak, or excuse me, the printed version out as we speak. So thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys next week. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.